I am not, I repeat, I am not a digital native. Y'all understand that language? That's new to me. There are those that are growing up in our culture, my grandchildren among them, that are digital natives. This stuff is easy for them. How many of you would give a witness with me that some of this stuff about the digital revolution is hard for you? How many of you would? Yeah, I've got some people that have my heart today. I get confused. Do you get confused? I get confused. See, I know that you sent me a message. I just don't know if it was email, voicemail, Facebook, Twitter. I get confused on these things. I look for answers. I just can't quite do it. And then I sometimes get confused about the date of a message. Has this ever happened to you? I mean, 2 days ago, I pull open my email. I don't know how this happens to me. I really don't. But I pulled it open. I saw this wonderful email from David and Linda Moore in our church. It was so encouraging and so sweet. Boy, I shot them a message right back and then noticed the message was from April the 13th. My word. But the other part of that is this. The encouragement felt just as good on July the 12th. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And there's at least one thing I'm not confused about, and that is this. Every soul needs encouragement. Every soul. We are in week two of what we hope to be a six-week series, I think, on encourage. Encourage. Take your Bible, go with me back to the book of Psalms, because all of the scriptures will be out of the book of Psalms. And by the way, I've been reading there for quite some time again, and I brought along my little encouragement book. Everybody see my encouragement book? I believe I counted the sixth or seventh volume for me, and it's just my way of recording what God said to me. And sometimes God's encouragement is a kick in the rear end. Did you ever have that kind of encouragement? It's, man, get yourself straightened up and straightened out. But sometimes it's that sweet, sweet Spirit of God coming and speaking in my heart. So this morning I'm reading in God's Word, and I'm reading that scripture that says, I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And my words for today, by the way, are hidden word, strong heart. Hidden word, strong heart. But if I turn back a day or two ago, on the 12th of July, I read these words. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Can you imagine how encouraging that was? The picture of God bending down.
Yes.
Is that you, little Hosey?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Now, God doesn't have to put his hand behind his ear. I understand. Don't send me emails on my theology. I know that. But isn't that a great encouragement to know that we have a God who listens?
Yes.
We have a God. And he doesn't just listen. He bends down.
Yes.
Isn't it a shame when we don't pray? That God's bent down to listen. Oh, they don't have anything to say to me today. See, that's what Psalms does for me. That's what the whole Word of God does for me. It is a time and a word of encouragement. Last week, Psalm 6, the first of what's called the penitential Psalms, did not sound encouraging when first read. But as we explored what was the dynamics within that, I gave you these three encouragements last week. Some of you were not here. Let me give them to you again. I said, be encouraged. Failure is not final. Secondly, be encouraged. Sorrow will end tomorrow. And third, be encouraged. Truth will triumph in time. Truth will triumph in time. Today we're very close to that. We're in Psalm 8. And oh, when you hear this one, I think it sounds encouraging from the get-go. I think from the beginning, this one has that feel about it, and rightly so. Are you ready? Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, Bible students, you ought to have immediately recognized one thing in the text. It is bookended. It is bookended. What do I mean by that? I mean, it starts and ends exactly the same. That's something to note when you're studying God's Word. And in this particular instance, the bookend is found in these words in the New King James Version. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That started it. That started the song, that ended the song. Now that tells me something, that what comes in between is going to explain what began and ended the song. So it begins with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It ends with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And in between, I expect to find why David sang those words. And I'm not disappointed. And in the finding of why David sang those words, we find awesome encouragement. The sermon today is be encouraged. Be encouraged. For those of you that were here last week, it's be encouraged part two. But it's be encouraged. That's what I want this series to be, and it's what I want today to be as well. Be encouraged. I want you to understand that David, in beginning and ending the psalm with those words, is calling us and alerting us to his desire, and his desire is to exalt God, to glorify God. And our task is to see how David did this and to see the enormous encouragement this truth brings to our lives. So we're going to look back at the text. We're going to simply ask this. What did David see? What did David see that encouraged him? And what did David see that caused him to say, O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth? And what did David see that points to you and me? And he declares the excellency of God, not once but twice, and he begins to marshal some evidence to support his praise. Now, if you look at verse 1 again, you will see that David's first look, after he makes his grand and glorious affirmation, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. David's first look is up. David looks up to God, and he refers to God as one who sets his glory above the heavens. Listen, above the heavens. The heavens are glorious, but our God is above the heavens. Oh, don't ever get caught into that thing that is really pantheism that says, oh, you know, God's in the trees and God's in the fleas and God's in the bushes and God's in the bees or whatever. You know, don't do that. God is the creator, not creation. And God is above all the earth. And so David is causing us to lift our eyes above the creation. He points out the worthiness of God to receive praise, how even children offer him praise, maybe the best praise of all. And by the way, it reminds me of Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, I think it is, where Jesus is in the temple compound and the children are nearby. And what are they doing? They're praising him. They're praising him. And people are trying to get him to be quiet. And he says to them, quoting from this very, very psalm, He quotes to them again how out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, I have ordained, or you have ordained, strength. And I will tell you that praise is powerful, and that's why he says it will silence the enemy and the avenger. And David then begins to do something that I love to do, and perhaps you do. He began to contemplate the heavens. To contemplate the heavens. I sometimes wish that I was able more often to be in a place where there was no ambient light from earth, and that all the light at night was coming from the stars and or the moon. Occasionally, perhaps you've been in that place. We've been in Africa. We got closer there. We've been up on the mountain in Peru. We got closer there. But I want you to know there's something about that that just simply compels us to look up and see the work of God. And in this text today, David says, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. David's looking up and he's seeing a God. He is seeing a God that is incredible. He's looking up. And it reminded me of the 19th Psalm. You remember that one? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, the heavens, His handiwork. Also reminded me of Romans 1, where Paul said that God's revealed enough of Himself through creation that we are without excuse. God shows up in what He has made. He is not part of that. He is above that. But He is awesome in His creation. I read again and brought it with me. The oceans of the world contain more than 340 quintillion gallons of water, yet God holds them in the hollow of His hand. The earth weighs 6 sextillion metric tons, yet God says it is but dust on the scales. The known universe stretches more than 30 billion light years, 200 sextillion miles, but God measures it by the width of His hand. Scientists claim there are at least 100 billion galaxies. Each galaxy is made up of about 100 billion stars. And to such mind-boggling math, Isaiah reminds us that God calls each star by name. David's looking up and he is seeing God. I pulled up on my computer this past week two things that I wanted to see. One was slideshows from the Hubble telescope. That gentleman came out of Marshfield, Missouri, didn't he? He was a local person. And what amazing scenes, and looking at those scenes, thinking of the glory and the majesty of His name, thinking about the God that we serve. The other thing I pulled up, I remembered from my college days. Yes, I still can remember from my college days. And it was something called Powers of Ten. You can Google it and find it. It starts in Chicago with a couple having a picnic out in the park. And it starts at 10 to the zero. For those mathematical students here, you know that that is one. That's 1 meter. It starts with a little picture, 1 meter, just a little over 3 feet in square. And then every 10 seconds, it adds a power of 10. So it goes 10 to the first, now it's 10 meters, and then it goes to the second and the third and so forth, all the way up, I think, maybe 10 to the 20-something on that. Powers of 10. And it spans out every 10 seconds, wider and wider and wider. And you don't ever see God, but you see God who is so great that He made it all. He made it all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did that. And then it zips back down to this picnic scene. And then it focuses in on the hand of the man. And now it goes 10 to the minus 1. The minus 2, the minus 3, gets smaller and smaller. It goes through the veins and the corpuscles and the whatever and whatever and comes down, I think, finally to a proton and what's there. It's an amazing thing. And you know what it is? It is a testimony to our God. It is a testimony to our wonderful, majestic, glorious God. So, are you ready? Be encouraged. If you're a note taker, you write this down. Listen to this. Be encouraged. Look at God. He is bigger than you think. I want to say it again. Be encouraged. Look at God. He is bigger than you think. Can I tell you, the older I get, the more comfort I find, the more encouragement I find in this simple truth. God is sovereign. Oh, that was a pitiful amen for that. I had that one in my heart that it would garner more. So I'm going to try it again so you have a preparation this time. I think one of the most important truths that you learn in life is when you come to the place that you look up and say, our God is sovereign.
Amen.
Friend, I'm going to tell you, He's still on the throne today. Amen. He has not abdicated His position. He's not given it up or given it over. God is an awesome God. Look at God. He is bigger than you think. And then David does something that doesn't really surprise me. I can imagine him out in that Judean landscape. I can imagine him on his back, flat on his back. No light, but that's which God placed. And he observes the beauty of God's creation. And he's looking up. But the very next thing that he does is he looks at himself. Is your Bible open? You saw it, didn't you? Verse 4. What is man? What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Or pay attention to him. What is man? Now somebody will say, well, David looked up and the next thing was he looked down on himself. I don't think that's quite right. I mean, I think he saw his finitude. I think he saw his smallness without question. But he moves too quickly to something else. He moves too quickly to something else for us to stay there. Because he's not just looking down. He is looking at himself and he's seeing something incredible. Look at this. He says, you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him. He's talking about us. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. You've crowned him with glory and honor. So he sees the glory not just in creation, but in humankind, warts and all. He still sees the image of God. He still sees the glory of God. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. So here is David, and he's looking at himself, but he's also looking that somehow the glory of God is in that. Larry Crabb is an author that I enjoy reading. Larry Crabb says, as image bearers, we all have what I call the four capacities of personhood. We are capable of desiring, believing, choosing, and feeling. The image of God is an amazing thought. That God took dirt, formed it into humankind. Said, let us make man in our own image. And he did. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. An amazing thing that God somehow takes some of His glory and gives it to us. Takes some of His glory and gives it to puny humankind. Gives us some co-creator responsibilities. Gives us some stewardship responsibilities. Gives us some dominion. And oh, how He dignifies you. And how he dignifies me. Flipping your Bible to Psalm 139. Won't take you but a moment. We're close. Psalm 139 is the perfect scripture for anybody that has trouble with a poor image of yourself. Psalm 139. Verse 13. You have formed. You're talking about God now. Listen to me. Listen to me, my friend. You have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I ought to pause to say, I will remain till my dying day utterly opposed to abortion. And utterly convinced that there's forgiveness and grace for that. My role is not to beat up on you, but it is to point you to the truth of God's Word. Listen to what He said. I am now in verse 14. I will praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. You know what that word workmanship, you know what that comes from? It comes from a word that if you look at it, you'll immediately see it is directly related to our word poem, P-O-E-M, poem. It's a work of a master. It's a work of art. I want you to be encouraged. Be encouraged. Look at God. He's bigger than you think. Everybody got that one? Here's the second one. Ready? Be encouraged. Look at you. You're a masterpiece too. And already some of you saying, I looked in the mirror this morning, preacher. And I ain't no masterpiece. But my friend, to look on the outside is to be so superficial. Not that that's inconsequential. But we're talking here about the image of God. And it's not found in the features in your face. It's found in the character of your life. You're a masterpiece too. Understand, we can be encouraged because God made us to be in some mysterious way like Him. I checked to see what the most money that has ever been paid for a work of art. And here's what I found out. I guess it's probably true. It's off the internet. These dollars are in 2013 dollars. In other words, it's adjusted a little bit, although this only was sold on April of 2011, so not long ago. It was a picture that I've seen many times in my life. It's a picture called, it's a work of art called The Card Players. The painter, the artist is Paul Cezanne, Cezanne maybe? Paul Cezanne. He painted this about 1892-93. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this painting. You can find mass-produced prints of it for almost nothing. Almost nothing. You can find, perhaps, more than one painting of that he did, which would be very much more valuable. You know, with some paintings, you can get numbered sets. This is one out of 612, and so you feel good about it. They only made 612 of these, and I've gotten one of those. But you and I know that for something to be of great value, it has to have two things. One, it has to be, by all accounts, an original work of art by a great artist. Now, have you guessed what they paid for this on April 2011? $268.1 million. Now, why do I tell you that? Listen to me because this is so important to my heart right now. Listen to me. Every person under the sound of my voice is a unique. Nobody else like you. Absolutely unique. Work of art by the greatest artist ever, God Almighty. Look at you. You're a masterpiece too. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, we have counselors after the service. What can I say? Look up. And then look within and see that even though I've not yet attained what I desire, that I am a work in progress. And friend, I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, the image of God, even though it may not be shining in you, is still there in seed form. And you can give your life to Jesus Christ and He will reform you. He will regenerate you. Everybody in this room is either being regenerated or you're degenerating. And in Jesus Christ, there is life. Life now, life abundant, and life forever. Look at God. He's bigger than you think. Look at you. You are a masterpiece too. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, Your Word, it comes as life to me. Life. Lord, that Word implanted in my heart. That Word enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Not the letter it could kill, but the Spirit giving life. Word. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. And that You, infinite God, could use us, finite humankind, men and women and teenagers and boys and girls, that You, the infinite artist, could take mud and make a masterpiece. Oh, Father, my heart is overwhelmed with Your goodness today. So encouraged by the fact that You are still working on me. You are still working on me. And I'm a masterpiece too. It's not just the stars and the moon. It's men and women and boys and girls and little tiny babies and senior adults and everybody in between, all masterpieces in the hand of God. Now, Father, today somebody may not have ever put their life in Your hands, and what a tragedy that is, Lord. What a tragedy. And so I pray that as we offer to them that invitation, that they'll come and say, I want this now and forever. I want this now and forever. And Lord, if there's somebody that has a Christian commitment to make, help them make it. And if there's people that just need to flood the altars and say, thank You, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Or to stand where they are, to sit where they are, whatever it might be. Father, work in our lives and help us all to be encouraged. Be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.